still cheering? Praise y'all. Well, you may be seated. You were louder last night, by the way. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This feast is going to be the most joyous there is. Most joyous there ever has been. In the presence of our enemies, and we, of course, this stuff that we're seeing here, Yahweh says thousands are going to fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but you've got to rejoice in the fact that Yahweh has a plan to stop all of this. Praise Yahweh. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, look up. There's a banner flying with the two witnesses on it. Be sure and look above your head and read the sign, thetwowitnesses.com or twowitnesses.org.com or something. Anyway, it's on the banner. We found them, they said. The sign said. We have two countries left that we haven't got in. Out of all the countries in the world, North Korea and Kosovo. Now, if you have any help or know of anyone that lives in Kosovo or North Korea, then get in touch with me immediately. That may be the only way we can reach those two nations is by individual. The second bit of news is not so great, but we're still going to rejoice. Now, there's over 8 million birth defects every year. And I know you're not suffering from birth defects, or you think you're not. I think you are. I think everybody in the world is. And I've told you it comes by degree. But I want to show you some pictures. Every day there's 219,178 children born with birth defects. That's 9,132 an hour, 152 every minute, 3 every second. Now, I know that you think you're not suffering from it, but whether you are or not, you should be suffering to see what is taking place, just like what is taking place there, the turbulence. This was prophesied as far back as Genesis 49 for this time period, which we will see here in a little while. Also, the defilement that is causing these birth defects. Here is a partial list. This is just a partial list of the known birth defects that we have. I don't know if you can see it or not, but those are just a few of the birth defects that, and the major birth defects that we have in the world today due to the sins that Yahweh shows where they start. They're trying to make us aware of this now because they're seeking to raise money, trying to find a drug that'll stop birth defects. It's crazy, I know, that they don't want to turn from sin, which is the cause of these birth defects. Brace yourself. I'm going to show you some pictures that I hope you'll remember. And the next time you start to listen to some worldly music, then think of these pictures that I'm about to show you, because that's where it starts. It starts with a word from Satan or a song from Satan that starts playing on your lust, and you don't realize what it does to your mind when you yield to it. Now, I told you last night how to get these songs out of your mind. We stopped singing for a long, long time because one thing, we didn't have songs that were written in praise to Yahweh. We didn't have our own music. Now we are beginning to change that now, and the songs the children sang today, that was such a blessing, I thought. I think we should pull the guitar back in the background a little bit and put the sound a little more on the children to where we can hear them better. Praise Yahweh. And I'd like to hear that song sung again at the end of the feast, but I'd like to hear the children more than the guitar. The guitar is fine. Little brown jugs are too, but but we do have better music than that today. In fact, the canned music is, we've checked it out. The synthesizers are really great for doing your own music, and you don't have to spend a lot of time in the field of education to use a synthesizer. You do have to spend a long time in the field if you're going to become expert at playing a piano. I know I used to play one in a band. I played the guitar in a band too, and and the sax. I never did get great at it, and I wouldn't, because I wouldn't spend no 8 hours a day working on it, and that's what you have to do for a lifetime. Liberace once said, you know, if he missed 4 hours out of the 8 hours of practice, he noticed it when he did a concert that night. He said, if I miss 6 hours out of it, the audience notices it. And of course, his life was that piano. It was like it was part of his hands. And that's the way you've got to do with an instrument to become great at it. The synthesizers you can make up tunes in a minute with them. So I think we need to work on it. If we need to get some, we will. But the fact is, when we bring these songs, we should keep righteousness in mind and something to teach that righteousness to come forth, which those words did. The words were great in these songs. The only thing, you couldn't hear what was being said, or I couldn't. Now, you might could hear in the audience, but we're going to have it perfected before the end of the feast, right? Okay. Now, worldly music is a different thing. There's no way to perfect it. The words are made to lead you astray from, first off, thinking about the job you're training for. That takes 24 hours a day. You should be dreaming of that job of a night right now. If you really got it on your mind like you should have, then you should be having dreams about it. And Yahweh should be able to talk to you. So get to work on it. Yes, your study. If you make a song, make sure you don't have to copy the Psalms. You know, you're well up to date on Yahweh's word, his laws and his prophecies and what they do, how they change the heart, the mind, and start you to thinking better, to respect to your parents, as that song went today. Respect. Now, that was ours. That was done from our music, our songs, our children. I'm so pleased that you're coming forth with this, because the other leads to this right here. I know you don't look like that, do you? But you should be sympathizing with the people that do, because this is what sin brings. And it starts with music. It starts with a word to lead you astray. This one right here has an animal in it at the bottom. And you can't see it very well, I know, but he is so screwed up. He's like the being born without eyes. All of these are from from sin. It's a result of sin. It's a result of not following the laws of Yahweh. You think, if you think about this, the next time you hear a song and you connect it with that song, you'll probably not want to sing that song very long. These are babies. That's the kind of life we're producing for our children right now. I could go on showing you these things, but all I want to do is just place it in your mind what you're doing when you turn to worldly music, worldly songs, the yielding any at all to them, any at all. You become part of the game that Satan is bringing forth to try to destroy mankind. And as Jacob said, you break one law, you're guilty of all. You may not think it's a law, but it is, and we're going to see it here in just a moment. I want you to go back to, first let's go over to Matitya 2, verse 23. Yeshua said here that the way it's written in the book of Yahweh, it's wrong. The King James Version is more right. The Amplified Bible has tried to correct it. The Diglot has it corrected and actually shows you that the word branch is not there. But the word Nazarite, now you've heard of the Nazarite vow, of course, and Yeshua didn't take no Nazarite vow. There's nothing that ever showed that he did. But he did go back and live in a town called Nazareth. So as the Diglot shows, he was a native of Nazareth. And that's the reason that it was written in this manner. Now listen to me. This may not seem important, but it shows you how you can become screwed up. And even our translators of the translations, they get screwed up on these scriptures. And unless you know the full plan of Yahweh, which these people didn't when they translated this right here. They didn't know the prophecies or what Yeshua was going to go through. Neither did they know that there was going to be two men working with him in the last days called witnesses. They don't put these things together like Yahweh is presenting them to you to show you these deep things of Yahweh, the great secrets of Yahweh that he's revealing now in these last days. But he says, and he went and lived in the city called Nazareth. So they called him in Scripture a Nazarene or a Nazarite, but it was just simply a native of Nazareth. There was another man that went and lived, brought out in prophecy here recently, that lived in Nazareth and tried to bring the message in the last days to a group of people whose minds are closed right now, and of course they threatened to kill him. That was the other witness, and he was my brother. They threatened to kill him, and they told him, if you do this anymore, we're going to carry you out of here in a box. So he left, and he came back to Abilene, came back to Odessa, where he came to Abilene and helped me to dedicate the work here. Just right down the road at the house we call the homestead, and on the back patio is where the work was actually started here and dedicated to Yahweh. But, of course, that's not shown here in this. But they say here, so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophets. He will be called a Nazarene. Well, that's not what he was called. He was just simply a native of Nazareth. The word set apart, that's true. And you might write underneath that, underline it, and say yes. The word undressed vine should be rod, but yes, that undressed vine, I'm the vine and you are the branches, Yeshua said. Now that should be established in your mind and you shouldn't have to go any further. That's exactly what he said. I'm the vine. I am the vine, he said. You are the branches. So if you get that straight, that'll help you from getting screwed up like they are in these scriptures and studying the two witnesses in these last days. The branch is not even there. They just added it. The diglot says, "And coming, he dwelt into a city named Nazareth, that might be fulfilled the word spoken through the prophets, that a Nazarite he will be called." So, and of course, that's what he was called, but it meant a native of Nazareth. Now, I want you to go back now to Genesis 49, and we'll be turning back and forth here, because here's where the prophecy started that shows us what is going on in the world today. And we should be believing these prophets and everything that the prophets have spoken. As Yeshua said in Luke 24:25, "You're a fool if you don't believe everything that the prophets have spoken, or the written words of the prophets, except you've got to figure out where the translators translated it wrong, or deliberately to mislead you in some cases. As the prophet Jeremiah said, "You're writing these things down wrong. You're going to deceive the people." And that's exactly what took place. And of course, from that warning, we should know that we're going to find this in these versions. So, in the last days, Yahweh said it's necessary to have a teacher. Well, it's always been necessary to have a teacher, someone who Yahweh overwhelms with the desire to study and to teach, which you don't find very often, but when you do, their lives are totally devoted to it, like Samuel, like his mother, like many of the people in the Holy Scripture. But here in Genesis now, chapter 49, we see here, as I want to point something out to you first, then I'll show you later. I'll prove it to you later, but you should be able to quickly get you a reference, even a desk reference dictionary or encyclopedia, and look this up. But it says, "The scepter will not depart from Yada." The scepter. Now, of course, that's a lawgiver. As Yahweh said, Yada is my lawgiver. He said that by another prophet. So we know that's what this means. Yeshua is our lawgiver. He gives us he's the high priest over the house of Yahweh, and the high priest over the house of Yahweh, that's his job, to give you the law, to teach you the laws and the prophecies. And if they can't do this, if it's not according to the law or the prophets, it's because there's no light in the Manal. If they're out there preaching and they're not prophesied according to the prophecies, and they don't know the prophecies or the law, they're saying all kinds of stupid things, you know. And they're out here sacrificing goats and chickens. And they don't even know how. They don't even know where they're supposed to, you know. But this is how screwed up the mind can get when they turn against their teacher. We had a couple that decided, for money's sake, they decided to go to Israel and find Mount Sinai and climb it. And because they wanted money. See, they're wanting money. So they climbed away up some mountain. They didn't know where it was, but they said it was Sinai, you know. Well, it was Sinai, I'm sure. And they went to hollering and screaming, and somebody came out and said, "Yes, my son, what can I do for you?" And they said, "What does 10 million years mean to you?" And this guy is dressed in linen. They said, you know. Took another puff. And dressed in linen, said, "Oh, about 10 minutes. And the guy said, "Do you answer wishes?" And he said, "Of course, my son. That's what I'm for." He said, "I'm the representative of the one that actually does it, but I can assure you, your wish will be answered." He said, "Can you give me $10? Wanting, of course, $10 million. And the guy said, "Sure, just a minute." Well, of course, a minute to him was, you know, like 10 million years. And he disappeared, they said. Just disappeared, vanished like a puff of smoke. And the guy said, one guy said to the other, he said, "You asked for too much. You're greedy. That's the reason he didn't give us this money. We traveled all this way, spent all of our money, climbed this stupid mountain." Yeah, the mountain was stupid. "And you asked him for too much." He said, "Okay, we'll call him back. We'll get this thing straightened out." So they called and they screamed and they hollered and they butchered some goats, I think, and burned them on some rocks and, you know, and poured some blood here and there. And finally the guy came back and says, "What's wrong, my son?" That's the way they talk, you know. "What's wrong, my son, my sons?" "Well, I didn't want to be greedy. So could you just give me 1 cent? He said, "Sons, your prayers are answered. Go to Abilene." Well, that's where the answers are, Yahweh says, in Abilene. That'll help you to keep from forgetting that now, hopefully. But verse 10 now, it says, "The scepter will not depart from Yada, or the ruling staff from between his feet." That is the lawgiver, as we have right there. That's true. "From between his feet until he comes to whom tribute belongs." If you look this up in any history, and there's more than just the Holy Scriptures to back us up in this, there's history that shows when Yada was destroyed. When they stopped being the lawgiver, they had power from this time that they came out of Egypt and took over that land. Yada was the ruling power. And that's true throughout the history of Yada. You got that? Now, when Yahshua came, he was the one to whom this actually belonged. Now, if you can get this in your mind, that Yahweh's plan included Yahshua. It included two witnesses in the last days, and it also includes Yahshua in the last days as being the guide and director of this great work that is fulfilling the prophecies that Yahweh spoke of. But if you just look that up, now this was written, brethren, this was written in Genesis here, in the book of Genesis, he says that Yada is going to be the ruling power, the lawgiver in Israel. And it's not going to depart until Yahshua comes, which he did. And every history book will show you that once the temple was destroyed, so was Yada. They existed as a lawgiver no more. In fact, they didn't even exist anymore. Can't find them now because they became universal or Catholic. But get that in your mind because these prophecies are going to be fulfilled. They're being fulfilled, every last one of them, and we can depend on those prophecies. Miracles you can't depend on, but you can depend on these these prophecies. Now, if you go back to verse 1, you'll see that he says, I'm going to show you what will befall you in the last days. This was not just for this time period that we're in right here, but for that they are speaking of when Genesis, the book of Genesis, or the beginning, was written. And these Abraham, who kept the laws of Yahweh, was made this great promise that Yahweh was going to take his family. And of course, if you've read the books of the United States and British Commonwealth in prophecy, you can see how screwed up they are into what this great blessing would be. Because they think again, like these two that clumb. I'll use the word clumb. All Okies do that, you know. I know there's no such word, but they clumb Sinai. Well, in the last days now, he says, this is going to take place. In the last days. Now look at verse 2. He says, gather together now and listen. The problem is people don't listen. They don't even pay attention to what they're reading. And they read this like a storybook or something, and they get nothing out of it. And they don't put it together because, it's written here a little and there a little, as Isaiah said. And line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and stumble. Yahweh didn't write it to convert them. He hid it from them so that they would have to trust in him, come to services, keep their appointments with them and with him, so he could make them come to holiness like he himself. That's what you're doing. That's the reason you're being tried right now, and you're just coming through in five flying colors. I know that. I'm getting reports on you. Gather together and listen now, you sons of Jacob. Listen to Yisrael, your father. He says, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the first sign of my strength, excellence in honor, exceeding in rank, turbulent like water. Turbulent like water. Well, what changed this? Now get this in your mind. He was the strength of his father, the firstborn. What could have possibly gone wrong to change him and cause him, and get this, in the last days now, Reuben, his ancestors, his seed, those who come down from him, which are many, you probably got him in you right now and don't even know it, to become turbulent like water. You know, Yahshua, he used these words and he said, you know, that many are called, few are chosen. He said, they start making excuses. He gave them talents and then they said, well, I can't do this right now. I've got something else to do. Well, then he showed that even after they're here for a while, they still fall away. Three out of four fall away, even when Yahweh sends a teacher, starts a work, which he has seven works planned. That's all he has. And this seventh work is the completing work that will bring forth what we're going to see in this feast here of binding Yahshua to the horns of the altar. We're the ones that do that. We are. Not like they did it when they killed him. Well, he says, here now you become turbulent like water. You will no longer excel, that is, in strength, the strength of Yahweh. That word strength there, it means the laws of Yahweh that changes the hearts and minds of the people. You'll no longer exceed, he says. You'll no longer excel, for you went up unto your father's bed, unto my couch, and defiled it. Well, I just showed you some pictures of this defilement and what it's brought down to us today. This is it. And it started getting worse in the 60s. They called it the swinging 60s because television was invented in the early 40s and started taking its place in the houses of the people. Before that, women wore dresses that covered their bodies. There was an old saying that no one saw my grandmother's ankles except my grandfather. And that was true. She was a very strict, righteous lady. And I thought how quickly they condemn what was done at that time. At that time, when I was a child growing up, I was born in 34. Television started coming now in the 40s. But I was old enough to know and understand why that women were this way, why they covered themselves and so forth. Well, everyone looked up to the women who did this, and the men praised them for it. But shortly after this, television started coming out. The dresses went up to the knees and above and just kept climbing. They started dropping off at the shoulders, and they kept going there too. This was coming forth from Hollywood. Now, for 6,000 years, this wasn't so, brethren. This has taken place in my lifetime. What you're seeing in the movies, what you're seeing on your television sets, you can't even watch the news now until Hollywood Minute comes on, and I'm trying to watch the news, and here comes Hollywood Minute. Well, when they put that on, I punched the button quickly to get rid of it. But they flash it to you. And, of course, the lust starts. That's what man is supposed to do. He's supposed to lust after his wife. That's what Yahweh gives you to make it more binding between you and your wife. They are selling it. It's for money. Money. People climb Mount Sinai for money, hoping to get rich. Well, that's what Hollywood is. It's Sinai. And you're going up there to get your pleasures fulfilled. Well, what you're bringing forth is what I showed you in the pictures here. I know you're not doing this. I know the world is, but I know you're not doing it. I know that for a fact. I know you wouldn't even be here if you didn't have more sense than that. Let's look over to the birth defects and notice here what he says. He said, "You defiled it." Well, what he's talking about is the last days. So this defilement that he's talking about, be turning over to Isaiah 24 and look at what the prophets say about this defilement. But remember, one song is enough. Just take hold of it and run with it. And pretty soon you will want another one. Because evil grows. It's like Lebanon. Leavening. It's like leavening in bread. It spreads throughout the whole dough. This is what Yahshua told you. One pinch of leavening will spread throughout the bread. Leavening represents sin, and Yahweh says, get the leavening out. And he shows you how hard it is to get it out. People vacuum their floors and leave the bag in the vacuum cleaner in their house, knowing it's got leavening in it. But they forgot. Someone called me this morning and said, it's in my fish food. Well, come to find out it wasn't, but after more investigation. But I said, just get rid of it. But what am I going to feed my fish? I said, I couldn't care less about them fish. Eat them or feed them some breadcrumbs, unleavened breadcrumbs. Just get it out of your house, I said. Well, then we found out that it wasn't leavened after all, so... So we went ahead and fed the fish, you know. But it's hard to get leavening out of your life. It's harder to get sin out of your life, or equally as hard to get sin out of your life, but you can do it. You can, by just taking certain steps to guide yourself to keep you from going in that direction. When you walk out of Walmart or Kmart or any of these stores, and here you've got this jitterbug in your mind, and you're trying to sing it, come forth with this other. Yahweh, we love your great commandment. That will knock it out. It'll stop it. And then you'll start doing this all day. You'll start praising Yahweh with the song that he inspired our people to put together here at this feast for you. Well, the defilement that would be in the last days. Now, it started back then with a few words. You can read the history of what they did and the steps they took. They eat, they drank, they rose up to play. Play what? Well, some of them played a guitar, I'm sure, and some of them played a fiddle. Some of them played the little brown jug after they drank the whiskey out of it. Well, me and my wife and my little brown jug started across the river on the hickory log. The log, it broke and I fell in and lost my little brown jug again. That was a song when I was a child, of course, and we were making music to it. Rub boards, we used them. But we, you know, where we got the music at that time, of course, started coming from radio and television. And that's how the world has grown in this lustful situation that we're in now, that produces babies with eyes hanging out their chins, eye over here, or maybe a leg or something coming out where the ear should be. The one I showed you there had a baby. One baby had another baby growing in his back. It's the most screwed up thing you've ever seen now. And you think, you know, well, you don't have it. It won't happen to you. Well, it's happening because of you and your sins, and because of our forefathers and their sins. And in the last days, Yahweh says it's going to be totally overwhelming, that the earth won't even be able to stand it. And he says it right here in Isaiah 24. He says Yahweh allows, it's right in front of his face, he's got it to where he can see it, and in front of your face too, he allows the earth to become almost totally emptied because of sin. Over in verse 18 here, he says, it will come to pass in these last days, he who flees from the noise of the fear will fall into the pit. That if they leave the house of Yahweh, which is protected, the protected place. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but Yahweh has taken all the radiation that they say is not dangerous. Some of them say it's not dangerous. Other scientists say it is dangerous. It's very dangerous. Any amount of it, they say, is very dangerous. You get it in your tongue, on your tongue, and it's different from coming onto your skin or having the effects. Now, they're saying, you know, just a television set puts out more radiation than what you would get. But the television set doesn't put particles on your tongue where it starts building. Now, this is the arguments that they're putting forth, the scientists are putting forth in front of our government, saying we're in a bad situation right here, and it's getting worse every day. Well, of course, that's what the scripture said. We're in a bad situation, and we're making it worse every day. The turbulence, the quakes that Yeshua said is going to get worse. They are getting worse. Surely from the films and the news that we have seen now, we can see not only worse, there's more of them, greater amounts of them. There's others that show the oil spills and how we're spilling it all over the world at this time because we're not really containing it like we should. For 6,000 years, we did without it. I did without it several years after I was born. We did not have electric lights in our house. We didn't have running water in our house. And we lived just fine. That's the way everybody did. The people who came out of Egypt That's the way they lived. And they lived like that up until my generation, brethren. All this stuff is coming forth because Yahweh says, I'm going to allow knowledge to be increased in this time period. Well, that's in Daniel. You'll find out what occurs there, the greatest tribulation ever, because the knowledge is allowed to be increased. Brethren, you're going to be overwhelmed with knowledge. Yes. And authority to use it. That's the reason you've got to be 100% sincere about overcoming at this feast, getting all sin out of your life at this feast before you leave here. Do it before you leave here. Just do it. Well, he says the foundations of the earth, last part of verse 18, foundation of the earth are going to be shaken because of this sin, because of the sins. And if you partake of any amount of it, you become guilty of it all. That's what Jacob 2:10 says, 10 through 12. He says the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is dissolved clean. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth will reel to and fro like a drunkard and will sway like a hut. The transgressions, notice the transgressions. That's the breaking of Yahweh's law. You say, well, I didn't sin. I just listened to that stupid music. I'm telling you, it builds like leavening in the dough, and it will build in your mind. And the more you get, the more you'll want. And in those songs are suggestions. Whether you know it or not, they're there. And soon you'll start wanting to fulfill it as the Jacob also showed. Where does wars and fighting come? It starts with your lust, he said, which started with a song, he said. They rose up to play. They ate, they drank, they rose up to play. Not to improve themselves with their study. Study to show yourself approved. But with their stupid music or searching for fun, entertainment with the world. We were told, I was told by one of our fishing crew. They went after some supplies. Yes, we catch our own fish. I can hardly wait. There's one meal that I can hardly wait till you eat it. And we're still trying to figure out if we have enough money to let you eat it free. I hope we do. it's our own fish. Our fishing crew are like the apostles. Some of them want to spend too much time, we'll take a book with you or something, you know, take something so you, when they're not biting, you can sit there and read anyway, you know. But they do work at it, and they have got one particular fish here in Texas that is the highest producer of omega-3 of any fish in the world. And Yahweh gives it to us free. Well, our smoking department now, they take these fillets and they smoke some for me. And I have to try these things out. That's part of my job, you know. It's not hard. But I said, man, I can't resist it. I'm going to have to try this one. So anyway, the cafeteria will fix this to you for perfection. And once you get a bite of it, you're going to think it's the best in the world, especially if you're hungry. I won't tell you what it is now, but they call it buffalo. Well, back to reality here and what is taking place in our world. These pictures that I showed you, it didn't get there because righteous men and women had children. That's what they were created to do, was have children, have families. And that's what brings forth Yahweh's kingdom, and it's going to always be so, and it will be so in the kingdom. Yeshua said this, they are The kingdom is of the children. They will be there throughout all eternity. We will be having children, but we will do it Yahweh's way, not the way that they're being produced now. But he says Yahweh watches, and he lets the earth be made empty and waste, perverts the face of it, and scatters abroad its inhabitants. It will be on everyone, as he shows there in three more verses. He says in verse 4, the earth mourns and fades away. It's fading away. It's not going to exist, he says. It cannot stand the weight of sin upon it now. That started with a song. Remember where it started. Remember how lust starts and how it grows. The earth mourns and fades away. The world mourns and fades away. That is the people of the earth. And the haughty people of the earth languish. The earth also is defiled under or by the inhabitants of it because they've transgressed the laws. Well, if you look back to Reuben again, in the last days, Genesis 49, verse 1, I'll show you what will befall you in the last days. How could he know this was going to take place? How could he know that Judah would be the lawgiver up until the coming of Messiah? And we don't want to believe in the Messiah? What the Sephardic Jews say is that this means oppression or depression and affliction. And since we're still afflicted, they say, still afflicted, they don't associate that with their sins, but since we're still afflicted, the Savior hasn't come yet. Well, of course, that's a poor excuse of trying to justify their sins and wanting to stay sinners. I praise Yahweh for his house, brethren. You should be too. By the way, the fish are clean. One of the films that you're going to see very soon will show you what the ocean is getting like. It was prophesied before it ever started taking place, but the beautiful pink salmon are now affected, and you will see how. You won't see it in the grocery stores because they're taking a knife to it. They're operating on him before they put the rest of it in the ice for you. Well, bless Sinai for money. That's what they're going after. But Reuben now, in the last days, Reuben, it started right here. The defilement that you see here in Isaiah that's going to make the earth reel to and fro, sway like a hut, like a tent. It started here and says, in the last days, here is what you're going to see from this defilement. And then he shows it in Revelations. I know I went over time, and I won't make that a habit during the feast. we got plenty of time to train. I just want you to understand and get it thoroughly each lesson each day. So bring your books of Yahweh with you, or if you don't have one and have a King James Version, that's fine. That's where I learned from. The book of Yahweh is a lot easier, a lot plainer. It's easier to learn from than any translation I've ever seen. And I've used them all, every one of them. I don't know one translation that I don't have and have used. And I see how they've been abused and how they all follow the same pattern, tolerating the Catholic Church and all the evil that it's brought forth to you in this time period. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you!